Well, Wendy's going to come up and share the word. And I know Wendy's supposed to share because when we're here on Friday, she starts preaching at me. And you start teaching me. And you can tell when her preach is coming, yeah? You just got to preach. So. Okay, Lord,
just
she's ready.
Excited.
The Lord bless you. I know you're going to pray anyway, so I won't pray now. Yeah. So the Lord bless you and open your ears. God wants to speak.
I am super excited, I really am. So I call this sermon, Wake Up, Jesus is Coming. Okay. And this is exciting for me. I've been meditating on 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8 for a long time now, so you can turn to that while I'm talking. And I'm just believing and praying that for all of you, this will be a message of hope. That will be a message of hope. It will be a message of joy. It will be a message of encouragement. It will be a message of conviction. And there also is, and there's an urgency and a warning to this message. So I pray, I'm just going to pray for you. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move in this place. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would move in our hearts. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open our hearts, that you would soften our hearts to the truth of the Word of God. I pray for each one here, including myself, that we would fall in love with Jesus, that we would fall more in love with Jesus and your return, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, that each one of us would not leave here the same. That we would receive what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name. So if you have your Bibles open to 2 Timothy 4, I'm going to read verse 8. And it says, in the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Okay, I want to ask you, have you ever read that? Have you ever noticed that? Okay, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever considered that? Have you ever meditated on that? Like, this lasts at least a month. I almost have a sense like I'm the same way as I was back. It was like maybe 5 years after I got saved, I got a revelation of that Jesus came to set the captives free, that he gave us authority to cast out demons. Like I got a revelation of that. I didn't have it. And then all of a sudden the scriptures were opened up and I was so excited and I remember at the time, like, Mike was pastor of the church we were at, and I went in his office and I'm like, I got the word, and I'm like, did you know this? Did you know this? What's going on? Like, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we casting out demons? Like, I was like crazy person. I'm a crazy person still. And the next day, we had a fellow in the office, and we're like, right. He's on the floor, and we're casting out demons anyways. It was very exciting. And so I almost had, like, I have that same, like, I have more of a revelation of not just that Jesus is returning and that he's coming back, but that we, the Church of Jesus Christ, are to do what the Word says. We are to love his appearing. Okay, and that's what I want to get into more today, this morning. So I want to help you using the word to understand more about what does loving the second coming of Jesus look like now, and how are we to live now? Okay, in view of that Jesus is returning, he is coming back, and that we are to love His returning. What does that actually mean, and what does that actually look like? And I was, as I was preparing this, I was thinking of so many of you, and the testimonies are just amazing. and you know, I thought about you, Heidi, and I was thinking about many of you as I was preparing for this, and how you loved the return of the Lord Jesus. Okay, I want to start with the words of Jesus, and he said in Matthew 25:13, Jesus said, "Be on the alert then, because you do not know the day nor the hour." Okay, we do not know the day or the hour of Jesus's return. Okay, Jesus doesn't know. Only the Father knows. It says that in the Word. This is why Jesus repeatedly, he says in his Word, he tells us, he exhorts us to watch, to be awake, or alert, to be ready, to be on our guard, which means to take heed, to watch ourselves, and to pay close attention. Over and over, Jesus exhorts us to do these things in his Word. There's so many scriptures, I'm not going to read them for the sake of time, but I will read one, Luke 21:34. Jesus says, "Be on your guard so that your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that this day will not come on you suddenly like a trap." Okay. Now, the New Testament writers, all the like Paul and Peter and John, in their letters, they exhort us to do the same thing as Jesus did. They say, I'm not going to read the scriptures, but I will give you the scriptures. If you have a pen, you can write them down. If you don't have a pen, you can listen to the sermon this week and you can write them down, because it's really helpful. It's really important. It's really, it just will change you if you look up these scriptures and read them and study them and meditate on them and get them written on your heart. The first one is 1 Thessalonians 5:1-11. The second is 1 Peter 1:13-16. And 1 Peter 4:7. And 2 John 8. Now, in those letters, the New Testament writers, they exhort us. They say, be alert and sober, which means self-controlled. They say, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in your spirit. Watch yourselves. These are all exhortations. So listen. Jesus, Paul, Peter, John, others, they exhort us to be awake. Okay, we must be spiritually and morally awake and alert, okay? Which means to live holy and godly and righteous lives, right? It means to exercise the sound mind that we have been given. Okay, it says in 2 Timothy 1:7, okay, that we have been given a sound mind.
Yes.
We already have it.
Yes.
We don't need to ask for it. We have to exercise it. We have to learn how to use it. So we're exhorted to exercise the sound mind we've been given, the mind of Christ that we have. We are exhorted to love the truth. We are exhorted to not be vulnerable to worldly foolishness. This is all in the Word. We're exhorted to not to take pleasure in wickedness, to take pleasure in the world. Okay? We are to be aware of Satan's schemes, not unaware of his schemes, but we are to be aware of his schemes and his deceptions. We are to be aware of lies. We are to be discerning and not love the world. We're to be discerning and not listen and agree with false teachers and false prophets. All these things, we need discernment. Okay, we have discernment. We have discernment. We need more. Always ask for more. Okay, we're not to be oblivious to what God is doing. Okay, to his plans, his purposes. Okay? We need to be awake to his calling, to our calling, the calling that he has given us. We need to be awake to our responsibilities as the Church of Jesus Christ, and we need to be awake to our mission, the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ. This is going to be the main point at the end, but we need to be awake to the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is coming. Okay, he is going to appear for a second time, and we are to love his coming. Okay, so now listen, when Jesus comes again, his second appearing, there is going to be no time at that appearing for the spiritually asleep to change their lives.
Right. That's right. Okay, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, so now, Church of Jesus Christ, that should stir you up to go and do what Jesus has called us to do, which is to go and preach the gospel. Right? Because when Jesus returns, that is it. There's going to be no time for them to change their lives. There will the spiritually asleep, they will not be awake to even discern the signs of Jesus' nearness. They won't be able to fight the final battle for alertness and endurance. Okay? But we who are spiritually awake, okay, who are in fellowship with Christ, who are walking in the light, we will be able to discern the signs of the times, okay? And we will experience his coming, Jesus' second coming, okay? Not as a surprising thief. Okay, that's not written for us who are alert and awake and ready. Mm-hmm. Okay? That we will experience his second coming as Jesus, a merciful and a merciful servant master, it says in the word. I'm going to read that word because it's an amazing word. And there's so many points. It's like, okay, don't get into that too much because that's like another sermon.
Right.
Okay, so Luke 12:37. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Okay? Truly I say to you that he will prepare himself to serve and have them recline at the table, and he will come up and serve them. Jesus is talking about himself and his second coming. Okay, I can't get into that, but it's just like amazing. So to be spiritually awake and sober is to be in love with the Lord's coming. Okay? If you love Jesus, you will be awake and you will be ready for his return. Okay? Now, I want us to look at 2 Timothy 4. I want to go into some of the scriptures in more depth. I want to go deeper with you in them. So let's start off and we'll read 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8. Okay, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Okay, now that's amazing. Right. So Paul wrote this. Okay, he wrote this. And he wrote it shortly before his death. And when he wrote it, he was in a Roman prison. And why was he in prison? He was in prison for preaching the gospel. Okay, and I'm going to probably say this again, but I'm going to say it now. There's a connection in the scriptures, if you really pay attention, okay, between Jesus' coming, okay, and what we are supposed to be doing now. Okay, it's all over the scriptures if you pay attention. Okay, we're going to get into this more, right? So Paul had suffered the sufferings of Christ, right? He had shared in the sufferings of Christ. This is what he's saying, okay? He had fought the good fight. He had finished the race. Okay, he had kept the faith. He had achieved victory. But what's on his heart to say to Timothy? Preach the gospel. He's in a Roman prison for preaching the gospel, preaching the good news about Jesus Christ. He knows he is not leaving that prison. He is going to die. And he says this, I kept the faith, right? I've ran the race, right? But to Timothy, he's writing, preach the gospel. Okay, now that's a word for us, right?
Good.
Now, if you look, always read before and after the scriptures, right? So I'm gonna take a look at 2 Timothy 4:1-2. I'll read that. So Paul writes to Timothy, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Okay, he goes on to verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires.
Yep.
Well, we're there.
Yep.
Yeah, we're there.
We're there. Okay. So I just want to point out one thing there in those scriptures. Jesus has been appointed by God to judge the living and the dead, right? Okay, on his second appearing, okay, everyone will stand before the judgment seat, stand before Christ, and he is going to judge. No one is going to escape the judgment, right? Now, this is eternal judgment. This is the final judgment. This is it. Okay? And each person is going to be judged and they're to go to their eternal state. Okay? So those who do not know God, okay, and those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, as it says in 2 Thessalonians, okay, those who do not know God, who do not have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and he's their Lord, okay, and do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay, those who did not receive the truth, those who took pleasure in wickedness, okay, are going to be judged and to everlasting punishment, which really means eternal separation from God, okay? The righteous to life eternal. Okay? Those of us born again by the Spirit of God, okay, those of us who love the coming of the Lord Jesus, we love Jesus, okay?
Obedience.
That's right, and we decide obedience, okay? We are going to go and be with Jesus for eternity. Okay? We're also, as been mentioned this morning in many different ways, we will receive new glorious bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and like we're going to get into more, Paul says in 2 Timothy 4 that we are going to receive the crown of righteousness. Okay, so this is good news.
Amen.
This is good news. Okay, this is good news for us who are born again by the Spirit of God and should stir us up to go. We are not the one who saved, but we are commissioned as the Church of Jesus Christ to go and share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, so Paul says, preach the word, preach the word. Paul connects the return of Jesus and his judgment with what we are to be doing now, which is to be fulfilling the mission of the church. Like I said, this is a pattern of the New Testament writers. Okay, Luke even writes this, okay, I was laughing about this. Okay, so Luke writes the words of Jesus, okay, in Acts 1:7-8. Okay, so this pattern is all over the scriptures. Okay, and when I first got born again, this was it. This was my verse. Okay, so the disciples are asking Jesus. So when they came together and they were asking Jesus, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it is not for you to know the times which the Father has fixed by his own authority. And then he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth.
Yeah.
We don't know when Jesus is coming. It's almost like he's like, never mind. Never mind about that. You are going to receive the Holy Spirit, going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you go and you be my witnesses, and you go and you preach the gospel, and you go and you make disciples and teach them to obey everything I've commanded. Never, don't pay attention. That's all. It's all like a little bit of a sense of that. Okay, how are you doing? Okay, so now if you go down a few verses and you look at 2 Timothy 4:10. Okay? And in part of that, Paul says, for Demas, okay, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. I thought, uh-oh. Okay. Some are studying the book of Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians in the house church. Okay, so what's happening here? So Paul is contrasting those who have loved his Jesus's appearing, okay, with Demas, who deserted Paul, having loved this present world.
Right, yeah. Right.
Okay, Demas didn't fight. Okay, he didn't finish the race.
Right.
Okay, he didn't keep the faith. Okay, and he didn't do these things because he loved the present world.
Yep. Right.
Okay, he did not love the Lord's appearing.
Right.
That's right.
Okay. He's opposite to what Paul is urging Timothy and us, okay,
right,
to be in 2 Timothy 4:5. Okay, I thought about you, Mary. I'm going to read this. But as for you, use self-restraint in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Okay? That's a word for Timothy, that's a word for us now. Okay. I want to read 1 John 2:15-17. Okay. It says, so this is John, he's writing this. 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away.
Amen.
He says that in the Word. Everything is going to be destroyed.
Yes.
Okay. The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God continues to live forever. Okay, so listen, those of us who love the second coming of Jesus, okay, we prefer his arrival, his coming, seeing him face to face, meeting him. We prefer that over everything and anything the world can give.
Amen.
Like others were saying, Jesus is it. Jesus, yep, is more than enough. Jesus has given us everything. There's no other answer. There's no other way. There's no other person. Only Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay? And this is, these are just one or two scriptures. Okay. I want to go a little deeper into what Paul says in verse 8, where he says, those who have loved his appearing. Those who have loved the second coming of Jesus. Okay, now Paul says in Titus 2:11-13, I'm just going to read it. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and in a godly manner in the present age. The present age is from creation to the second coming of Jesus. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So what does he say here? At the beginning, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation. Okay, that's the first coming of Jesus. Okay? And then he talks about how we're to live in the middle of that. Okay, in this present age, righteously, godly, holy lives. Okay? And we're to be looking for the blessed hope. Okay, we are to be loving the second coming of Jesus. We're to be loving his return. Okay, that's so the last piece there. For the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now he's talking about Jesus' second coming. Okay. So Jesus came the first time to prepare us for his second coming. Okay? And
what scripture was that? Excuse me.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was Titus 2:11-13. Okay. So his first appearing, which climaxed, of course, at the cross and his resurrection, prepares us for the second coming. Okay. And the test of our love for Jesus who has appeared, our love for Jesus now, right now, okay, the test of our love for Jesus who has appeared, okay, is our longing for Jesus who will appear. Okay, so think about it in the natural. Think about it even in relationship. If you love someone, if you truly love someone, you are going to look forward to seeing them.
Right?
I mean, we can relate with that, be in fellowship with them. You're like, oh, I can't wait to see Mike and Ruth. I can't wait to go over to Lynn's. I can't wait. You know, like, we can't wait to be here. We can't wait to see each other. Why? Because we love each other. If you truly love each other, we look forward to seeing one another. If we truly love Jesus now, we will love and look forward to seeing him on his second return. Okay, so I'm trying to not spend too much time going into the opposite, but really, if you don't love the second coming of Jesus, if you're not looking forward to his return, you're not yearning for it, waiting for it, you can't wait, and you want to be ready, and you want to be watchful, and you want to be doing what Jesus has said, being obedient, you want to be doing all those things. Okay, if you're not there, do you really love Jesus now? You have to ask that question.
Right?
So this is the thing. This love for Jesus is the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? This is where Jesus says in John 3, you must be born again by the Spirit of God. Okay? Holy Spirit opens up our heart, puts a love into our heart for who? For Jesus. Okay, now you remember, I remember, when I got born again, when you got born again by the Spirit of God, those of us who truly are born again by the Spirit of God, what happened? When we got born again by the Spirit of God, we fell in love with Jesus. Like Janice said it, we fell in love with Jesus. Okay, we love him when we're born again by the Spirit of God. We love Jesus. We want to know him. We want to know him more. We want to follow him. We want to serve him. We want to obey him. We look forward to, we love his return and spending eternity with him. Like that's our heart. That's what Holy Spirit has done. He's put his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us, which it says in Romans 5:5. So really, love for Jesus and love for his coming is essential to being, if we call ourselves a Christian, a follower of Jesus, okay, it's essential. Love the return of Jesus. Love Jesus now. Okay? Okay. Where am I? So really, you know, those of us who are his own, those of us who love him and desire to live his life, okay, it's only those things, it's only that heart, okay, that really could love, okay, or take pleasure in or long for, whatever word you want to use, the appearing of Jesus, the second appearing of Jesus. Now, I do have to do this. I want you to go to 1 John 4. No, I'm reading the word every day for the last over 22 years now. Every day. And every day, I love it more. I love Jesus more. And getting these, like, revelations. Still, like,
Always.
It's, like, so exciting. Okay, where did I say? 1 John 4, 17 to 19. Okay, now, many of us, including myself, like we just sometimes we just quote the word, we quote part of the word, we quote like part of the scripture, but we're not using it in context. So, you know, this is one of the examples. I'm going to read the scripture first. Okay, starting at 17. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us.
Yeah.
So a lot of times we say perfect love casts out fear. And I know, like, you know, before I got more revelation of this, and maybe you guys already have all the revelation. I didn't have it. I don't know. But it was like, we're thinking that this is referring to the spirit of fear. This is not referring to the spirit of fear. Okay? This is referring to those of us who love the coming of the Lord Jesus and love Jesus now, are born again by the Spirit of God. When Jesus returns to judge, we will have no fear of the judgment, because we are not going to be judged to go to hell. Okay? We are going to be judged based on what we did or didn't do. Okay, we're going to receive rewards, okay, based on what we did in this body now, in this present age on this earth. Okay, we're going to receive awards accordingly. That's what the word says. Okay, so really what that means is his perfect love, love for him, love for his coming, that perfect love that he has put in us, okay, we will not be afraid.
That's right.
But those who are unbelievers, those who don't know the Lord, who haven't been born again by the Spirit of God, they will have fear when Jesus returns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they will have fear. And again, that should stir us up to do what we're supposed to do. To go and preach the gospel. Okay, so now with this love that has been put in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, our love for Jesus, our love for his coming, okay, with this love, there comes obedience. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands.
That's right.
Okay, if you don't know what his commands are, some of them are around the corner on that poster. Okay? But really, look at them, know them. Hey, this isn't a works thing, okay? We have Holy Spirit. He's the one who enables us. He's the one who empowers us. He's the one who does it, right? It's not us. We can't. We can't do it. We can't do anything on our own strength. We can't know anything, okay? So, yes. So with this love for Jesus, okay, comes obedience, okay? And when we have this love for Jesus and his returning, okay, there's evidence of that, okay? There's evidence of a true saving faith that James talks about. Faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. It's not a works gospel,
mm-hmm.
Okay? It's a gospel of grace. We're saved by grace through faith, okay, in Jesus Christ.
And faith has works.
Okay? Not by works. We're saved for works, not by them.
Right.
Okay, so when we have a true saving faith, there should be fruit. There should be works, good works for the glory of God, to bring glory to Jesus. Okay, that's what we should see. Okay?
Right.
Now, just another thing that stood out to me looking at this scripture again, back to 2 Timothy 4, and looking at what Paul is saying, he starts off, okay, in verse 7, where he says that he's fought the good fight, he's finished the course, he's kept the faith, okay? And then he talks about, in the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, which is amazing, the righteous judge will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So to me, okay, it's no, like, these scriptures are written by the Holy Spirit. These are inspired by God, written by the Holy Spirit. Okay? And in those same verses, Paul talks about fighting, okay, and love for the second coming of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a connection here, right? There's a relationship between love and fighting. And loving the Lord's second coming, this should sustain us. Okay? It should keep us from falling away. It causes us to persevere. Okay? It causes us to fight, causes us to overcome temptation. Temptation to forsake our faith and go and, like Demas did, go to the world and love the pleasures of the world. Okay? So loving the coming of the Lord Jesus, it's essential, okay, for lifelong endurance, for lifelong perseverance. Okay? So Paul is talking about how he's persevered, he's kept the faith. We want to persevere. We want to keep the faith. There's a connection between being able to do that and loving the coming of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay? And really, like I just wrote, there's a connection between what and who we love and whether we endure. Mm-hmm. If we love the world, we will not be able to persevere and endure. Mm-hmm. But if we love Jesus, we love his coming, okay, and everything that involves, okay, then he will be sure that we're able to persevere. Okay, now I still haven't gotten all this, right? But Paul talks about the crown of righteousness. Okay, so Paul calls it the crown of righteousness, James calls it the crown of life, Jesus calls it the crown of life in Revelation 2:10. Peter calls it the crown of glory. I'm like, what is this? Okay, it's not an act, this is my understanding, okay? It's not an actual crown. It represents honor and glory, okay? It's a reward for fighting the good fight, okay? It's a reward for finishing the race. It's a reward for keeping the faith, for persevering, for overcoming. It's given as a prize to genuine servants of Jesus Christ, okay? It's a reward for righteousness, okay? This is another point that could be a sermon, but I won't go there. It's reserved for those who in this life have longed for the appearance of Jesus. Okay? And really, in my own words, I summed it all up after looking at scripture and looking at my Bible hub and trying to sort out what it was. I just summed it up like this. It's the joy of spending eternity with Jesus.
Yeah.
It's a reward. Like that's it. Right. Okay. This is the last and probably most important thing. Okay. The end isn't yet.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Uh-huh. The mission's not done. Our mission is not done. Okay. Now Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, and this is a promise. He said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." Mm-hmm. Jesus said that. And he turned this promise into a command in Matthew 28. Okay? Yep. Matthew 28:19-20. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all I have commanded you, and surely, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's the mission of the church. That's our mission. Now, I've been reading this book by John Piper. He's a really good Bible teacher. He's really solid in the Word. It's called Come, Lord Jesus. Okay, Meditations on the Second Coming of Christ. I'm not finished it yet. I'm almost finished. And I wrote on the front, Revelation 22:20, "He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." And 1 Corinthians 16:22, "Maranatha, our Lord, come." Right? Isn't it like a cry of our heart? So I want to read something from here because I can't write it better. Okay. So this is from this book by John Piper, Come Lord Jesus. He says, "Christ has not yet returned. Therefore, the task is not done. When it is done, Christ will come. Our responsibility is not to insist on defining the terms of our task. Our responsibility is to complete it.
Yeah.
So long as Jesus does not return, our work is not done. Let us get busy and complete our mission. If we love the Lord's appearing, we will love the advance of his mission towards completion. We will take heart from his promise that the gospel will be preached to all nations. That is all the people groups, tribe, language, people, nation. And we will embrace his command to make disciples of all nations. We will seek to share the urgency and clarity, okay, of the exhortation. So long as Christ does not return, our work is undone. Let us get busy and complete our mission. Mm-hmm. Let us get busy and complete our mission.
Amen.
Okay. So then, just to sum everything up, how then shall we live?
Right.
Okay, we're to live like the New Testament tells us to live. The whole New Testament is written in the light of the second coming of Jesus. Yeah. Now my prayer has been for you, and this will happen, I know. When you read the scriptures now, you're going to be like, oh, that's about the second coming of Jesus. That's how I'm supposed to live. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, it will come, like it will happen, right? So we should live in love with the appearing of Jesus. This brings joy. It brings hope, okay? We, loving the Lord's coming, okay, is loving Jesus now. Okay, it is to watch, it's to be alert, it's to be ready, it's to be on guard, it's to live righteous and holy and godly lives. It's great power. Loving the coming of the Lord Jesus is great power to walk in victory from sin. Okay, it's great protection from deception in these last days. There's a lot of it. It causes us to persevere, to fight, to overcome, and to continue to fulfill the mission, the commission that the Lord Jesus gave his church in Matthew 28. Okay, and we will receive the joy of eternal life with Jesus. Right? That's good news. So I want to just, I want to declare a prayer out over you. Okay, I love the prayers of Paul, so I'm just going to pray this prayer for you. Okay, in 1 Corinthians, it's from 1 Corinthians 1 Corinthians 1:4-9, and I'm actually going to pray it and declare it as a prayer. It's from the Message version. Okay. Every time I think of you, and I think of you often, I thank God for your lives, a free and open access to God given by Jesus. Okay, there's no end to what has happened in you. It's beyond speech, beyond knowledge. The evidence of Christ has been clearly verified in your lives. Okay, just think. You don't need a thing. You've got it all. You don't need a thing. You've got it all. All God's gifts are right in front of you. As you wait expectantly for our Master Jesus to arrive on the scene for the finale. And not only that, but God himself is right alongside to keep you steady and on track until things are all wrapped up by Jesus. God, who got you started in this spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of his Son and our Master Jesus. He will never give up on you. He will never give up on you. Never forget that. Never forget that. Okay. So that's all I have for today. Thank you. I do want to, when the service is over, when we finish, I want to, Ruth and I are going to be in the prayer room because I want to invite you, okay? If by hearing this word, okay, you're kind of sensing, I'm not sure if I'm born again by the Spirit of God, okay? Okay, then, you know, when Lydia in Acts 16, when she heard the word, Paul was preaching the gospel, the good news about Jesus, okay, Holy Spirit had opened up her heart, and she got born again by the Spirit of God, and then she got baptized, and her whole family, okay, so don't leave today if you're like, I'm not sure, okay, if you have questions, or, you know, Ruth and I are going to be in the prayer room, come, okay. And I also want to put out a call for disciple makers. Okay, listen.
Yep.
There's many coming and coming into the kingdom, and there's disciples, and they need to be discipled. And we need to be making disciple makers. You're making disciple makers, you two, Jocelyn and Aaron. Yep. I was thinking about that. That's what you're doing, really. You're making disciple makers. Right? So I want to put out a call for that. We need disciple makers. If you want prayer about that, okay, you come. Okay, if you want more of Jesus, if you want to like fall more in love with Jesus, you come. Okay, come for prayer. Okay, I know we're going to eat physical food, but you know, we need the rest of it too, more importantly. Okay, thank you.